Take your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to continue to talk about our theme this year of "and so much the more." And we're looking at some verses here in Hebrews chapter 10. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to read all together out loud verses 19 through 25. So let's begin in verse 19 together here in Hebrews chapter number 10. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for faithful is he that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Well, here we are, and as I said last week to you, now I'm going to kind of try to finish last week's message. I should say 2 weeks ago, because I had a week off, if you will. We had a guest speaker last week, but we went to the youth rally yesterday, and I want to thank Aiden. Aiden, you did a good job, son, as he went through, and this is your first time, right? In they call it Today's Timothy's preaching time. The boys get a chance to go preach, and they get 5 minutes, and Aiden did a great job. And we were giving, some of us preachers that were in there, were giving some encouragement to the young men as they had finished, and they were talking about things and stuff like that. But one of the, I guess it was a youth pastor, I suppose, said something about how as they preach and as they bring forth the Word of God, that they've got to have boldness, right? And to preach with boldness, preach with authority. And so I want you to understand that we as Christians, we're oftentimes too timid, right? Too shy about our faith, where we've got to have some boldness. And so I'm going to finish this. And another thing that they encouraged the young men to do was if you have an outline, it's okay to kind of try to finish your outline. Because, you know, these boys, they have 5 minutes. And so they're limited on time. So you get your 3 points in your poem, you know, and you got it ready to go. And sometimes you got to either, you have to choose. I'm at a straight, oftentimes a crossroads. Do I finish the outline, or do I finish a point or something like that? So I usually end up finishing a point, all right, or maybe an introduction, or maybe the introduction to the introduction, you know, kind of thing. So I appreciated the comment by that young man that said that, and because I said I am there, my friend. I said sometimes a point turns into a message, and then point number two turns into a message. So that's just kind of how it goes. So I was encouraged yesterday by another preacher to just go ahead and finish the point. Amen. Look here at the text. Look at verse 19. The Bible tells us that we have these things already. Okay. So having therefore. So whenever you see a therefore, you need to see what it's there for. Okay. And so we've got to know that these things are for our edification. Folks, we already, as believers in Christ, as new creatures in Christ, as born again Christians, we already have boldness. We just need to exercise it. Okay, I want everybody to do a little test with me here, okay? All right, everybody, put your arm up like this. All right, everybody go like this and give this little squeeze right here. Okay, see, we all have muscles. Okay, now some of them
are more exercised than others. Okay?
All right? Yeah? Let me get, when the more you exercise them, right, the more you'll look like me. Okay? No, not true. Actually, my exercise consists, oh, I got one here, of this. One, two, one, two, and one, two, one, two, you know? And sometimes one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. If there's a whole dozen there, they might all disappear. And donuts, of course, we're talking about now. But we know that if we have something, we need to use it. And in education, I know there are many teachers in here. What is the thing that we say, teachers, to students? If you don't use it, you lose it. Okay? Folks, we have boldness. But instead, we don't choose to exercise it. You say, well, but Pastor, I know I'm saved, but man, I just can't. No, you just won't. Not you just can't, you just won't. You already have boldness. If you have Christ, you have boldness. And if you have the Holy Spirit, which means you're born again and you have Christ, then you have boldness. You already have it, so use it. Over in 1 John, let me read chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. It says, "And now, little children, abide in him, and when he shall appear, we may have confidence." Okay? "And not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." He says, folks, we've got this boldness. We've got to use it. Over in 1 John 5, he says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of him." And so we talked about 2 weeks ago how the disciples in the book of Acts, as they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they went forth with boldness. And they went everywhere preaching the gospel. And they were scattered abroad and they preached the word. And they stood up and they prayed for boldness. And they had boldness as God gave them opportunity to speak. Folks, we have the same opportunity and this 2026, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, we've got to be exercising our boldness. We already have it. We just got to exercise it. Now that was a review. What else do we have? Look at verse 19, or 20. "By a new living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having." So we also have something else. Now, I alluded to this last time, and I may have even gotten to it just a little bit, but like was said before, I didn't get to elaborate on the point that I wanted to completely. So we're going to try to finish that up today. Now, he says, "And having an high priest over the house of God." Jesus Christ is our great high priest. And guess what? We have him. Okay? Now, we talked about this last time. Jesus told Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Folks, you've got to be born again. It's not just enough to know about God. You've got to know God. It's not just enough to go to church. It's not just enough to be a church member. It's not just enough to be religious. It's not just enough to be a good person. You must know that you know that you're born again because Jesus Christ is your Savior. You understand, you can grow up in church. You can read about things in the Bible. You can believe that God is God. You can believe that Jesus is God. You can believe all these things. But unless you trust Christ as your Savior, you don't have salvation. You've got to know that you're a sinner. You've got to know that you need salvation. You've got to turn to Jesus and say, "Lord, save me." And you must be born again. If you have one birth, you're going to have two deaths.
You'll have a spiritual death and a physical death. If you have two births, you'll have one death, right? You'll be born physically and born spiritually, and you'll only die physically because you'll have eternal life. So you understand that we must be born again. So if you're born again today, if you're here today and you have Jesus Christ, you have boldness and you also have a high priest. You have someone to go to God for you. I'll go back to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16. So in the book of Leviticus, God outlines to the people of Israel, his people, how he wants things to be ordered as far as worship goes. And so he instituted something called the priests, right? The Levites. They were the ones that were meant to care for the tabernacle, the things of God, all of those things. God chose them, if you will, for his inheritance. So they were there. That family was to serve God in the priesthood. Okay? And Aaron was chosen as the first high priest. Okay? Now, there were some special things about the high priest that were important to pay attention to. So look at this. At chapter 16 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of his two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. So there's a problem here. Something happened, and they did something against what God said to do, and God killed them. So God takes this priest thing very seriously. Please understand that, okay? Now, it says here in verse 2, and the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron, thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. Now, did God want to kill those two boys? No. Okay? But their rules are rules. Okay? So you remember when David was taking the Ark of the Covenant, right? He did it wrong, and somebody paid the price for it. Because the oxen stumbled, the cart shook, and Uzzah put his hand up there to stay the ark. I mean, Uzzah was trying to do something good, but it was done the wrong way, and God killed him. Folks, we've got to remember that these things, the things of God, have to be cared for correctly. And he says here, I don't want Aaron to die. So Moses, tell him so that he doesn't come in and do something he's not supposed to do, and I have to kill him. I don't want to kill him. All right? So God says, do this so that he won't die. So he says this. He says, thus shall Aaron come in, verse 3, into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. And he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with a linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. Now, we're going to go through this very carefully, because it all makes sense. Go back to Hebrews chapter 10, our text. I'm going to read down here. I'm going to get the cart a little bit rolling before the, not quite before the horse, but we'll get it there. But look here what he says. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Does that ring in your ears? Well, we just read about what God said to Aaron through Moses, right? About how he's supposed to present himself before God in the holy place. Folks, please make no mistake about it. When Jesus Christ was crucified, that veil was rent in twain from top to bottom. Jesus Christ provided access to the mercy seat with his own body on the cross. We have that access through Jesus Christ. He is the great high priest. He's our high priest. We have him as a possession. Isn't that wonderful? I think it's wonderful. But let me just tell you something. We Baptists take a bad rap sometimes about trying to do things the right way. You know what? Standards of separation and holiness are important. No, they're not part of salvation. And no, if you don't participate, then it's not that you're not saved. Can I just tell you something? It's just the way God wants it. So stop. I mean, I'm getting full, overflowing about these people saying, well, I'm a recovering Baptist. No, it's just an excuse to live how you want to live instead of how God says to live. So stop it. Just be honest. If you want to live that way, fine. Go live that way. That's your business. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he doesn't want us to die. He doesn't want us to be separated from fellowship. He wants us to be clean. He wants us to go about it the right way. He wants us to... I mean, you say, well, what did it matter if Aaron put on a linen suit or a polyester suit? Who cares? They didn't have polyester back then. God cares. You say, well, what's the difference? Why linen? Why couldn't he put on wool? Well, because God said so. Well, I it breathes better. I'd rather have Egyptian cotton. No, linen. He's supposed to wash his whole body. He's supposed to be pure. Why? God says, so I don't have to kill him. How many of you are glad for that, right? I mean, wouldn't you like to know so God doesn't kill you? Yeah. I mean, when God kills you, he kills you dead. I mean, it's over with. You'll get that later. Okay. It's kind of redundant, you know. But this is what God wants. So he says to the Christians, he says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter, it says, and having an high priest over the house of God. So he says, we possess these things. We have access. We can go to God. We can, we don't have to wait for the high priest to go in and do all the washing and have the cleanness and the right kind of clothing, etc. We get to go in because of Jesus Christ. We don't have to wait. We don't have to have somebody else do it for us. We get to do it because we are joint heirs with Christ. We have this as a possession. He says, now, because we have these things, I told you the second part of this message is let us. So we get to have a little salad here. Okay? Let us. Let us. Folks, when I say let us, what are we about to do? Something. And we're going to do something together. Let us. He says, brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, those of us who are of the family of God, we have boldness. We have Jesus Christ, the great high priest. We have access to the throne of God. Let us. And can I say in 2026, don't mind the tiny tots, they're just having a great time up there. Okay? Let us. We have got to do something for God. Stop just sitting around. Stop just spinning your wheels in your own life. You say, well, I've got my a business. I've got this. I've got that. I've got to take care of these things. I've got to earn money for my family. I've got to do all these things. I've got you've got X, Y, and Z, and your priority list is all full. But can I say something, folks? More than ever, in an accumulative force, with a vast quantity and a greater degree, because we have salvation and we have boldness and we have a high priest, let us. Now more than ever, we have got to do something. That first something is that we need to draw near to God. Again, I'm thankful for Brother Camp and Mrs. Camp choosing that song today. There's another one. draw me nearer. Nearer, nearer, precious Lord, right? So you understand, we've got to have a desire to draw closer to the Lord. There's only one problem with that. As we draw closer to the Lord, we see how wicked we are. You know why? Because go to John chapter 1. First John 1. Go to 1 John 1. You'll see why. Because Jesus is the light. And in Him is no darkness at all. You know what light does? Light reveals things. It does. Light reveals things. I mean, how many of you have seen something and you can kind of see it, but when you bring a light over, you really see it, right? For what it is. We were out hunting, and if you're hunting, even if it's in the daylight, you know, things, yeah, sometimes it's hard to see blood, right? If you're trying to track an animal or something like that. So what do you need? You need a light. Okay? Light reveals stuff. And so guess what? As we look, are you there in 1 John? Look what he says here. Let's look at verse 5. This then is the message of which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So you see that when he says, okay, we have salvation, we have boldness, we have that high priest, we can enter into the holy place through the veil of his flesh. Let us draw near. And when we draw near, we see what we really are, don't we? That's probably why a lot of us don't draw near to Christ. We only get as close as we can stand. You know? I mean, how many of you have ever, how many of you have ever asked your child to bring you a flashlight? Right? Yeah, Brother David, I expected you to raise your hand, Brother David. Brother David loves flashlights. But you ask them to bring you a flashlight. How many of you parents have done this? You've asked your kid to bring you a flashlight, and they bring you a flashlight, and they turn it on and shine it right in your eyes. Come on, who's had a kid do that to them? Come on, dads, moms. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, my eyes. You know, especially these new flashlights. You've got some pretty powerful flashlights. It probably could blind you. Right? I mean, how many of you kids have ever shined a flashlight in your parents' eyes? Yes. Yeah, exactly. Stop doing that. Okay? Oh, it hurts. It's like, oh. But you know what? That's how we are sometimes. And we get to Christ and we get close to him and she's like, oh, and it reveals. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Folks, isn't it good to have fellowship with the Lord? So let us draw near. We ought to want to be near to Jesus Christ. He's our high priest. Go over to Hebrews chapter 9, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 9. We know that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. He's the light. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. He's the light of the world. The light of the world is Jesus. We're going to come to the light, draw near to the light, be close to the light. Why? Because he is our life. He is our light. He is our high priest, and we ought to want to be near to him. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, look at verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, listen to this, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Isn't that a good question? To purge your conscience. Now, if you just stayed right there, But just, well, I guess you can flip a page back to chapter 10. But look what he says. He says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil, what? Conscience. So, Jesus Christ has made this possible. And he says here that we ought to live this way. Go back to what I was reading in Hebrews chapter 9. Okay? He says here, and for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For the testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined to you. Moreover, he sprinkled the blood, both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So you understand, all of this is talking about these things. We've got to realize that there's an and so much the more effect. It's an accumulative effect. That we have boldness and we need to exercise it. That we have an high priest and we have access and we need to exercise that access by drawing near to God. Don't keep a distance from God. Don't keep an arm's length saying, God, I just don't want you to interfere too much with my life. Folks, get immersed in God. When all these things were happening, you understand that Aaron and his sons, they stood before Moses in those white linen garments, and he sprinkled them with blood. He sprinkled the vessels with blood, and he sprinkled the altar with blood, and the tabernacle with blood. Well, the blood of Christ is what draws us near. It's what cleanses us and keeps us in fellowship. And so we literally and figuratively need to come near to God. God needs us to be near to Him. He wants us to be near to Him. He asks us to be near to Him. And automatically, if we'll draw near to God, what will He do? He'll draw near to us. Isn't that an amazing thought? You see, if I'll just draw near to God, He's going to close the gap. Remember back when Jesus was telling parables and things like this, he talked about a son, right? A man had two sons. One son stayed home, but yet was still far away from God. How many of you heard that preached? Right? The other son said, give me my inheritance, and he went and wasted it on riotous living. Right? But what did he do? In the filth and in the mire of the pig pen, he came to himself, and he went back to the Father. And what did he do? As he drew near, right? I mean, he approached. The Father saw him afar off. So who closed the gap, folks? Yeah. All the son had to do was take a step in the right direction. And as he approached, that father ran to him. By the way, that's closing the gap a lot faster than just walking, right? And he threw his arms around him and he rejoiced. Folks, listen, God wants us to draw near. And I'm sure, I don't think that boy had time probably to get the pig stink off of him. Because listen, I'm telling you, pig stink sticks. Yeah, how many of you ever been around pig farmers or a pig farm? Yeah, it sticks. I'm telling you what. We had a pastor, Brother Corey. Remember at church there? His family, they rented a house. I think it was a house. They rented a house on a farm. He worked on the farm. Okay, part time. But we had a youth event out there, and it was on a pig farm. Whew! Pig stink sticks. Okay, it just does. And let me just tell you something. I'm sure the father smelled that, probably smelled it afar off as he saw him. He's like, I think a pig's coming home for supper. No, it's my son. Oh, okay. Folks, the stink of this world's going to be on us. We understand that. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Don't be afraid to draw near. And you know what? You don't have to try to clean yourself up. Let Christ do it for you. Just come confessing your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He just wants you to draw near so he can draw near to you. Psalm 73 says this, my flesh, David said, and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. So is it good to be far from God? No. Then he says this, and I love this phrase. We should all have this printed somewhere in our homes. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I mean, wouldn't that be a good anthem for your life? It is good for me to draw near to God. Folks, we have salvation. We have boldness. We have the high priest that has provided access for us. Let us draw near. It is good for us to draw near to God. It's good. It's bad to be far from God. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. Isaiah 29, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. Oh boy. Over in Hebrews on our text, it says this, let us draw near with a what? True heart. The prophet Isaiah was talking about Israel. You understand that as Jesus entered into this world and had his earthly ministry, who was his greatest enemy? Those that had drawn near with their lips, but their heart was far from God. Are you just a near-lipped Christian? Are your lips near to God, but your heart's far from Him? Are you maybe a whited sepulcher full of dead men's bones? Folks, this thing of Phariseeism is kind of rampant in churches, isn't it? Everybody looks good, talks good, right? Lives the part. But is your heart far from God? You can say you're near to God, right? But does that mean that you're near to God? Not necessarily. We need to draw near, not only just with our lips, but with our heart, a true heart. So Isaiah says this, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. God wants us to draw near, not just with our lips, but with a pure and true heart toward God. Go over to James chapter 4 and we'll end here today. James chapter 4. Now we've studied this before. But I want to emphasize that it's about our drawing near with our heart, with the controlling seat of our being. The true feelings and thoughts and intents of the heart, right? That's what's talked about in Scripture. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now go back to the text and we'll finish this thought today. As we enter this new year, we have this opportunity to serve God in 2026. If you have salvation today, you have not just salvation, you have boldness, you have the access, and we need to do something about it. We've got to exercise it. And we've got to draw near to God. Sure, drawing near to God will reveal our sin. Sure, drawing near to God will reveal our shortcomings. But God is going to cleanse us. God is going to use us. God is going to purify us. That's who God is. But we have to take that step. We have to draw near to Him, and He'll draw near to us. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for faithful is he that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a vast and accumulative better degree that we can reach if we'll just realize that we have salvation, we have boldness, we have access, and we need to draw near to God. Now let me just close with this and say this. How many of you would agree that God is on one side of things and the world is on the other side of things? Everybody okay with that? Let me ask you a question. Let's say the world is over here. And God's over here. If I'm going to draw near to God, what am I doing? I'm further away from the world. Shouldn't we be further away from the world, folks? But if I don't draw near to God, now what am I drawing near to? The world. Folks, we've got to, I'm telling you, that world has nothing for us but destruction and devastation and misery, and it's not good. Draw near to God. It's of a benefit for you and for your family and for your kids and your grandkids. We've got to draw near.